Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. You may recall that Mayor Bloomberg recently announced a campaign to reduce New Yorkers' salt intake. The mayor is asking restaurants and manufacturers to comply with new limits on how much salt is used in everyday food. The WNYC newsroom has covered it. Brian's talked about it on this show. But it's salt of another kind that's got folks all along the East Coast worried. Look down at your shoes. Are there white marks all over them? Well, that's because you've been trudging through salty mush all week. The city has been sprinkling salt liberally all over local streets and sidewalks, and now it's time to deal with the consequences of it. Nina Shanrastogi writes the environmental column for Slate, and in her latest story, she asks this question: does road salt harm the environment? Nina, welcome to WNYC.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, what's the bottom line? You write that we put more than 20 million tons of sodium chloride on our roadways every winter.
Yeah.
That's about 13 times more salt than is used by the entire food processing industry.
I know. It makes you think sort of differently about the mayor's campaign.
Yeah, I really don't eat as much as I thought. So what are the consequences of all that salt?
Okay. Well, the major consequence, the one that has researchers sort of most concerned, is the way in which all that road salt affects waterways. You know, when the snow melts, when the ice melts, that salt doesn't just magically disappear. It seeps into groundwater. It can wash off into our lakes and streams. And the big concern is how all that salt affects aquatic organisms that live in those ponds and lakes that get that sort of influx of salt.
So it doesn't just create potholes.
It doesn't just create potholes, and it doesn't just affect our drinking water. It affects, the plants and animals that live in our streams and lakes.
You know, this is amazing. It's so provocative. I've never even thought about it until right now, as I'm meeting you. And I wonder how many of our viewers have thought about it, our listeners have thought about it before. We're going to take some questions for Nina Shanrastogi from Slate, who writes about the environment and today is here to talk with us about salt. Any questions about salt on the roads and sidewalks? What salt has ruined in your life, your shoes, your car, your yard? Give us a call, 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. Now, researchers in Minnesota recently found that in the urban Twin Cities area, 70% of the salt applied to the road stays within the region's watershed. Mm-hmm. Now, does this work its way into what, the drinking water or into lakes and ponds and other ecosystems, which could have a negative effect, but maybe not directly on ourselves, our children, our loved ones,
right,
et cetera.
Right. I mean, it can do both. It can do both. You know, a watershed is a sort of area of all kinds of connected waterways. So so like we said before, you know, the water that washes off, it could wash directly into a lake or stream, or it could percolate into the groundwater. And in the groundwater, it can affect drinking water. It can affect our wells. And then also that groundwater eventually finds its way into lakes and streams as well.
Well, let me just ask you this question. What is this salt? I mean, is it the same salt I'm eating?
By and large, the majority of the road salt applied is sodium chloride. It's just table salt. It's the same stuff that that we put on our French fries.
So in theory, I could just get out there with a shaker and be shaken. It's just in much, much, much bigger quantities.
Yes, yes. I would question the efficacy of just going out onto your sidewalk with your table salt shaker.
So it's really not a question of the substance so much as it is a question of the quantity.
Well,
it's a natural substance, right?
It is a natural substance, but the amount at which we apply it and the amount at which ends up in the waterways, I mean, that's the concern.
Does the salt that makes its way into the drinking water eventually get removed in some natural way, or are we just drinking saltier tap water than we should be?
It's my understanding that, the groundwater can the soils can filter out some of it. But as far as I know, once a well becomes contaminated, it's very difficult to remove that salt.
Here's a comment from a listener on our comments page. Don't forget the dogs. My basset hound, Teddy, cries and howls when he gets a piece of rock salt stuck in his paw, and he won't wear booties. Those big chunks of New York City rock salt really hurt. And I'm going to mention a little personal anecdote. My poor dog is limping around today. I mean, limping, will not even go for a walk, and there are consequences to that problem, because of the salt in his right front paw. And there's nothing the vet can do. So there are personal consequences for man and beast alike.
Yeah, absolutely. A friend of mine wanted me to make sure to point out that her dog is suffering similarly from street salt.
Let's bring in Elaine. This is becoming a bit of a therapeutic session. Elaine in Pearl River, New York, I understand that you empathize with our problem.
Yeah, I have a poodle mix, and of course she's a very dainty girl, but I can't take her out for walks at this time of the year because she's got very sensitive skin, and but I've been told that there's some kind of spray out there now because my dog won't wear the booties either. I end up carrying her, and it's really embarrassing. So,
how much does she weigh?
She weighs 22 pounds.
Oh, well, my dog weighs 80.
Yeah, it's a little different for me because she's a miniature poodle. So, you know, I have at least an option. I can carry her. I always end up having to rinse her feet off. And, you know, they sell environmentally friendly and pet friendly rock salt, or it's not rock salt, it's an alternative. It's quite a bit pricier, but that's what I use on my driveway because otherwise I can't even let her outside.
Does she eat the snow, Elaine? Or the salt, I should say? Or both?
No, she doesn't.
This does seem, though, Nina, to be, and Elaine raises it, I raise it, it seems to be yet another, and this is the larger issue you write about in environmental issues, another consequence of human beings coming up with a great solution to a natural challenge we face, and then over time realizing that we may have created a bigger problem for ourselves than we realized.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you see that in everywhere. It's a common problem.
Let's take a call from Ankit in Edison, New Jersey. So, Ankit, do you have a question about the environment?
Yes, I do. I think the previous caller kind of talked about this. I forgot the name of what's called, but it's a special salt that, like, it's not the regular salt. It's the higher quality one where it doesn't, like, tarnish your asphalt, destroy, like, the roads and the driveways. Is that better for the environment than the regular ones, or it still does the same amount of harm?
Well, without knowing exactly what kind of alternative salt you're talking about, communities around the country, I mean, the problem of road salt is not a new problem. Communities are really experimenting with a lot of different kinds of alternatives to plain old sodium chloride. The problem with a lot of those is, you know, first of all, they're often a lot more expensive. You know, sodium chloride is so widespread partially because it's inexpensive. But a lot of the alternatives come with their own sorts of environmental downsides we're finding. They may also have toxicity issues to aquatic organisms the way that sodium chloride does. It may have other kinds of water pollution issues. It may also require communities to invest in new spreading equipment. So there are a lot of reasons why people haven't made the wholesale switch away from sodium chloride.
You wrote about sugar beet juice.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's basically it's you know, the byproduct of sugar production. The beet juice, once the sugar has been removed, works in a similar way to sodium chloride. It lowers the freezing temperature so that it melts the snow and ice. And so a lot of communities right now are experimenting with beet juice, basically. Either often they end up mixing it with sodium chloride and are trying that as an alternative.
We'll have very red sidewalks.
Yeah. Apparently it's brown is what I've been told.
Okay. We'll find out, won't we? All right. Let's take George in Brooklyn. George?
Hello.
Hello.
Let me just get this. Okay, fine. I was wondering whether there was any benefit at all to using this salt to take the ice away. I mean, it seems that the poor doggies have got to put up with it. Why do we use it? Do we prevent human injury? Do we assist human business? I mean, it just seems like it's a terrible, terrible thing to do.
Well, you think, George, we should just shut into our apartments?
No,
and not
I'm not asking. No. I'll tell you what. People who keep dogs in the city without a place to walk them, and that does not necessarily the public streets, are doing the dog as a service. That's a different discussion. The discussion today is salt. And it just seems that there's going to be a concentration on all the negative things about salt. and nobody knows why we use it.
Well, there's a sort of clear positive to using salt. It makes our roads safer. It makes it so that our cars don't slip around. It makes it so that people don't slip around. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to walk around the city in high heels on a snowy day.
I doubt that George does, but I don't want to make assumptions. I mean, I guess in the old days we didn't use salt, but then we didn't have asphalt. We had dirt and horse and buggies, and we had all other kinds of challenges.
Absolutely.
I see that you've pointed out the sugar beet juice and other possible alternatives, mm-hmm. but as we look ahead, we'd have to think about the negative consequences to those.
Absolutely.
And as Georgia asked the question, why do we not use salt? Why don't we use something else or nothing at all? There are negative consequences to those options. Mm-hmm. So then the question is plowing the roads mm-hmm. more or laying down sand. Are those reasonable alternatives?
Well, sure, we could, plowing roads more. I imagine that is that would be expensive to do, and you'd also have to think about increased emissions of having, you know, more plows out there. Sand is often used, often in conjunction with salt. Sand has its own problems. You have to clean it up afterwards. It also can wash away after, you know, all the snow melts, and that can lead to increased sedimentation in ponds and streams. It can carry pollutants sometimes. The other alternative is to explore ways to use salt but use less of it, which is another thing that a lot of communities are sort of investigating.
All right, we're going to take one last quick call from Philomena in Bronxville, New York, who seems to have a little tip for some of us. Philomena?
Hi. You've already touched on my question about alternatives to salt, but with respect to doggies, my dog had that problem. If you coat the dog's paws when you take them out with Vaseline, a decent amount of Vaseline, because a lot of dogs wouldn't accept the booties, and then when you bring them back in, you make sure you give those paws a good wash. You can't just walk them, bring them in, and expect there's not going to be damage to the paw. So you need to be a little proactive to help your dog get along in this winter.
I like the community of listenership. It's a community of mutual support amongst the WMYC listeners. Thank you, Philomena, for that advice. And thanks to our guest, Nina Shen Rostogi, who is the environmental columnist for Slate. It's such a treat to talk with you about this.
Thanks for having me.
You can find a link to her piece on salt and the environment at our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and it was a pleasure talking with you. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, help solve the 39 clues. You're going to meet the people behind that wildly popular children's book series.